Welcome back. Today we are going to be going through the facts versus fiction regarding the commission sharing lawsuit. Now, why are we doing this? Because over the weekend, and I think really for the last 2 weeks, all of us have been wading through nothing but misinformation with regards to the commission sharing lawsuit, and the worst of which has been coming from mainstream media or corporate media. Now, you're going to be facing down consumers, buyers and sellers, and really anybody who is going to have read all of this information and have complete, I think, confusion about really real estate and how you get paid. So what we're going to be going through today are the seven, I think, top fact versus fiction points that we have been able to find. And hopefully this will clear the air for all of you. Now, we've organized these notes in such a way that you can use these notes for social media or really for, you know, anything. Maybe you're writing articles, blog posts, Facebook posts, it doesn't matter. So I can, Julie and I were, again, designing all of this so that you could easily take our notes and just write fact. And then, you know, here's the fiction and that kind of thing, right? And the point being is this will make you the authority on really, again, what's truly happening in the real estate media so that people, frankly, can cut through all the noise. And I want to also shed light on the fact that overall, as Julie and I were sharing with you guys a couple of weeks ago, nothing has really changed in the nature of how buyers and sellers are going to be engaging with you. The only thing that's really changed is really some procedural Mickey Mouse that we're going to be going through with as pertains to how buyer agents are going to get paid, the paperwork that's going to go along with it, and really maybe some, hoops they're going to have to jump through to know what their commissions are. But for the most part, buyers still need you, sellers still need you, and there's still a massive undersupply of homes for sale and really a historic amount of demand of homes for sale. The wind is at your back. Julie and I were just listening to a podcast this morning with regards to homes. Yeah, we do listen to real estate podcasts in our personal life too. It's that pathetic. But we are listening to this one about really the amount of inventory that's coming for sale. And there's no doubt there's an increase in inventory coming for sale. There's no doubt there's more new construction coming for sale. There's no doubt that interest rates are going to go down this year. What we're already seeing is the return of what will very much feel like a massive boom in real estate. So you're going to have to make sure that in order for you to get the most of that, and it's going to last probably, we're guessing, at least 10 years. So you're in the right place at the right time. So Julie, let's wade through the facts versus the fiction so these guys don't really, I think, enter into what will be probably the start of a very good long-term bull market for all of them with misinformation.
Very well put. So these are your talking points, fiction versus facts and reality. And watch how some of these fictions are worded too. These are taken straight from headlines, straight from video posts, social media, etc. So this is not made up. This is stuff we've seen floating around.
I should mention too, all of our notes, all of our long form printed notes are available at harrisrealestatedaily.com. That is our new newsletter, harrisrealestatedaily.com. We're not able to put all of our long form notes in the show descriptions anymore on social media and on iTunes because, frankly, they don't give us a space and Julie's notes are very long. So make sure you go to harrisrealestatedaily.com, subscribe to the newsletter, and we'll email you not just that day's notes for that podcast, but we're also going to send you exclusive content. For example, we're doing a lot of interviews, well, they're more conversations that are being recorded for your benefit with real estate movers and shakers. And these are a lot of cases top producing agents, but also I've been doing interviews with agents that aren't necessarily top producers, but are making a lot of impact in their local markets. And they're making, for the most part, they're making really great net incomes. That's one of the things Julie and I really focused on, as the agents that are utilizing AI, the agents that are leveraging their listing skills, their proactive lead generation skills to make the most of this market. So I know you're going to love those interviews, but they're going to be available exclusively to Harris Real Estate Daily subscribers. And the newsletter is free, so you know, no gotchas. So just go to harrisrealestatedaily.com or simply click the link below in the show description, and then you will be taken to a simple opt-in page. Just put in your email address. Now, I want to let all of you know it's a double opt-in, which means that you're then going to receive an email, and you have to click the email to confirm you want the subscription to harrisrealestatedaily.com. And some of those confirmation emails have been showing up in people's spam or junk folders, so make sure you search and click the link, and you'll be getting the newsletter every single day. And for those of you who are subscribing, thanks for all the great feedback. We certainly appreciate it. And we're going to start loading in more content, those interviews. Rick Jensen has agreed to start contributing weekly articles on AI for real estate, things like that. So all this is coming your way. We're very excited about it. It's been a bit of an arts and crafts project to pull this off, but it is definitely something that I think all of you will really appreciate. So go to harrisrealestatedaily.com.
All right. So again, it's time to debunk some myths surrounding the NAR Commission lawsuit settlement. We're going to clarify the facts and dispel the misinformation. So fiction number one, the settlement forces real estate brokers to reduce their compensation. Look at the language in there. Forces us to reduce compensation. Well, here's the fact. The settlement does not impose any limits on what realtors can charge or not charge, or the services they offer. Realtor fees have always been negotiable, reflecting the industry's competitive nature. Sellers have diverse options, and fees are determined through negotiation. That sounds a lot like nothing's changed, right?
Well, I mean, this is the unfortunate part. That actual fiction was, something the president said.
Yeah.
He said in a national speech, and I think you guys have all seen that, that, you know, for the first time ever, real estate agents or the National Association of Realtors aren't going to be able to mandate that agents and brokers charge 6%, something to that effect. All of you know that that's not true. And I think it's really unbelievably unfortunate that misinformation is being disseminated at that level. Yeah. But again, you now have the fact, so make sure you're sharing the fiction with your community on social. Start there, and all your, frankly, everyone, because you're going to have to really, in some cases, unfortunately, deprogram people out of a lot of this bad information that they have in your marketplace so that you can move forward. We don't believe that, for the most part, even after this, the final agreement, because the final agreement is still being hashed out, but these are the broad strokes of what we understand the final agreement to be. But we don't believe that effectively that real estate is really going to change at all. We just don't. There's still going to be buyers. There's still going to be sellers. There's still going to be, you know, five buyers for every one listing. That's going to be, you know, the fact for a long period of time. There's still going to be a need for listing agents. There's still going to be a need for buyer's agents. There's going to be some procedural changes. But for the most part, you guys can learn how to compete and dominate in this market because of this market. So we're moving on to fiction number two.
That's right. And I do have an upcoming fact about that, which is right there, about that what you just said has actually been tested. So fiction number two, listen to this headline. The settlement will prohibit sellers from paying a commission to a buyer's agent. What's the fact? Here's the fact. Sellers retain the discretion to pay a commission to a buyer's agent. It's crucial for successful property sales. You all listening know that. Incentivizing buyer's agents ensures optimal exposure and selling opportunities for sellers. Think about things like multiple offers as a result of that kind of thing.
Well, it's worth mentioning, as we enter back into what will be more of a balanced market, will probably happen over the next couple of years, where in other words, a seller is going to have to offer more incentives, and maybe it's, you know, lowering the price, maybe it's condition, maybe it, whatever it's going to be. Maybe it's help with down payments. Well, guess what? Buyer agent commissions could actually go above. What happens is, I remember very clearly during the, you know, housing crash, the legitimate, when home values actually fell back in 07, 08, you actually saw in many cases sellers were offering above a normal commission, and that was happening on new construction. Matter of fact, Julie and I tell this story, and some of you guys know, because it sounds almost like we're making this up, but some of you actually saw this as well. I remember very clearly, Julie and I were driving from Las Vegas to Southern California, and we passed through a town called
Victorville. Remember?
Victorville, yeah. And there was a billboard up on this, obviously on the freeway there, outside of Victorville, said, and it was from a builder, two homes for the price of one. So that's what kind of incentives happen when the market shifts. So there's every reason to believe that what we're going to see is essentially a return to normalization in the way you interact with buyers and sellers in your marketplace, minus a few procedural changes, exclusive buyer agency contracts, and things of that nature.
Well, that's right. And that story, we tell you that story because that demonstrates the fluidity of the negotiation of commissions and things like that. That same time that billboard was out there, and I'll never forget seeing that. I wish I had a picture of that. Probably it's somewhere online. At the same time, the builders had basically doubled commissions on some of their inventory homes that people had backed out of because they had so much inventory laying around. Again, different times, different commissions and deals. Well, but again, demonstrating the point that it's all negotiable.
Exactly what I was about to say. I mean, it goes to the original, you know, fiction number one, you know, with regards to real estate commissions. Commissions, to Julie's point, competition, market forces cause them sometimes to increase, sometimes to decrease.
Yes.
That's called supply and demand.
Exactly. Right.
So this is an interesting point you found about Northwest MLS in Seattle, Julie.
Yes, because this demonstrates the fact that we're getting across. The Northwest MLS in the Seattle area. I think that includes about 17 counties, so it's a pretty big MLS. It has dealt with this issue since 2019, and as such, has demonstrated that such changes have minimal effects on the market. In fact, it's largely business as usual. This is because the cooperative compensation model works. Now, I didn't include all of the facts. This is based on a big article that I read that showed after they had all these changes in place, you know, making it more transparent and, you know, the buyer side commission optional, the amount of deviation was less than one. It's like 0.001%. Virtually nothing happened. They just went on because, you know, buyers and sellers are used to doing this. Listing agents and buyers agents are used to the cooperative compensation plan, and it's business as usual.
Well, let's interject this too. Zillow and I think Opendoor. Now, this was a few years ago. They were doing some research. We talked about this, of course, in the podcast. They were doing some research to see how low they could go on co-op commissions before it adversely affected their ability to sell inventory homes. Remember when Zillow and Opendoor, and I think there was another one, were doing essentially buying houses. You guys remember that? Mm-hmm. It seems like a million years ago, but
the
it wasn't.
The iBuyer programs.
Right. The iBuyer programs, which turned out to be an idiot idea, but that aside. So yeah, they were trying to see how little they could compensate the buyer's agents and still, you know, keep sales velocity. Well, they were testing it. I think it was in Florida and Arizona.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta, yeah. Right. And how low? You remember how low it went?
I think they got down to like 2.1%, something like that.
And then what happens basically was that essentially their sales started just to fall. Now, you could argue, well, those were the buyer's agents that were, you know, choosing not to show homes with the lower commissions. But I'm not necessarily sure that's true, because the reality of it is that, as you guys know, buyers have full access to the same listing data, unless it's a pocket listing or, you know, a brokerage's listing on their exclusive, you know, maybe website or whatever. Buyers can choose what they're going to ask their buyer's agents to show. So, you know, who knows what market forces will have, what effect will have over time as we see this new agreement fully implemented mid-year of 2024. But in the meantime, you got to make sure that you know how you're going to compete in this new market. We are assuming that you are going to have an exclusive buyer agency contract signed. We are assuming you're going to have to learn how to explain your value to buyer's agents. We are assuming you're going to have to show your own set of unique selling propositions to buyers in order to get them to want to work exclusively with you. We are, I think Julie and I are both confident that that is going to be a resolute part of the new agreement, that you are going to have exclusives signed. And what is an exclusive? Some of you don't even know. I realize that from reading all the comments. The exclusive is simply where, just like a listing contract, when you sign a listing contract with a seller, the seller agrees that you're going to have the exclusive right to sell that house for usually it's 180 days. Now, what does that mean? If someone knocks on that seller's door, and the neighbor, let's say, knocks on that seller's door, when you have an exclusive you know, listing contract signed with that seller, and that property sells to that neighbor, that seller still has to pay you, even though you didn't generate the sale on that property, the neighbor just knocked on the door, the seller is still going to have to pay you a commission, whatever it was on the listing contract. Well, that's what an exclusive right to sell is, exclusive right to buy, or whatever it's going to be called. That's essentially what the buyers are going to have to obligate themselves to as well. Now, how will that buyer agent commission be covered? We discussed that on many past podcasts. We do believe, and I think, frankly, it's already happened, that you're going to see the commissions either continually paid by the seller, as they have been traditionally, or you're going to see the commissions are going to be financed in the contract, in the purchase, as in they're going to be financeable. We believe that's already in place. We're getting clarification from FHA on that. But the moral of the story is it's going to be business as usual with a couple of procedural changes. All of this information and all of these presentations and all these new scripts and objection handlers are available on Premier Coaching. Now, you want to definitely join Premier Coaching because you don't want to wait around for these new laws to go into effect mid-year and then discover that you wish you would have actually known how to answer seller or buyer and seller questions and know how to present your value to buyers. And there is a really robust section in Premier Coaching that's about exclusive buyer agency. If you're in Premier Coaching, we are in the process of updating all of that with the newest information as it becomes known to all of us. But do understand, the days of just having the social relationships with buyers where it's going to be, hey, let's meet at a Starbucks and we'll look at a few houses, those days are over. You're going to be expected to have a formal presentation. And Julie stumbled across some information. What state was it that already said?
I believe Pennsylvania is saying not only will you be out of compliance if we catch you operating without that exclusive signed agreement, even prior to a showing, that's not even writing a contract, but I believe the fine is going to be about $11,000 per incident.
There might be some kind of one form, one showing type deal. There probably are going to be like you're signing an exclusive buyer agency contract, but maybe one of your USPs, and we do suggest this, is basically if there's, you know, if they're dissatisfied or, you know, you're going to release them from the exclusive, minus the houses you've already introduced them to, things like that.
There will be variants on this, right? So within the, I've already seen some of these forms.
So the moral of the story is get involved in Premier Coaching because all the information is there. And like I said, we're updating all this information. If you're a broker, if you're a team, it doesn't matter. Premier Coaching is your next natural step. And we have made it very easy for you to say yes, yes, yes to Premier Coaching. Just go to premiercoaching.com, premiercoaching.com, or click the link below and you can join Premier Coaching right now. In the first 30 days is free. And yes, that does include a daily semi-private coaching call with a Harris certified coach. If you're a broker, you've got to get your agents involved. If you're an individual agent, you got to get involved. If you're a team, you want to know how to educate up all of your agents. You want to know how to make it so that all of this is done with just simply you joining Premier Coaching. Well, guess what? Join Premier Coaching. PremierCoaching.com or click the link below. Julie, let's get to fact and fiction number three.
Yes, and I'm going to need you to scan down a little bit for that second part, but let me read the fiction first. So fiction number three, the settlement will relieve sellers of any financial burden of buyer agent fees. Let me read that again. This is the fiction part. The settlement will relieve sellers of any financial burden of buyer agent fees.
You found that on like CNN. I love how that's worded, by the way.
I know. It's terrible.
It's like the sellers have, you know, let me just read that. The settlement will relieve sellers of any financial burden of buyer agent fees.
It's like, so, like it was an anchor around their, you know.
You got to wonder though, when you read something like that, what was the bias of the person who actually wrote that title that you found online? It's so insane.
It's absurd.
Doesn't that sound like something on a political,
you know? 100%.
It totally sounds political.
100%.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay, so here's the fact so that you can combat this. And again, Tim told you how to get all of these notes so that you can read through this and memorize. So here's the fact. Sellers may choose not to pay buyer agent compensation, but it doesn't absolve them of all costs. Buyers may request concessions to include contingencies for compensation affecting overall transaction economics. Now, that could not be more fact-worthy, right? You all know, anybody who's done even a single transaction, even if you have only done your own transaction, let me read this again, sellers may choose not to pay buyer agent compensation. That's always been true, but it doesn't absolve them of all costs like the fiction headline sounded. So buyers may request concessions or include contingencies for compensation affecting overall transaction economics. In other words, it's no different than asking for closing costs or asking for a home warranty to be included. It affects the overall transaction economics. What that really is saying is the buyer and seller net sheets.
Well, again, what's going to be intimidating to many buyer's agents, frankly, is that they have, like, I'm thinking of a lot of these agent teams and these a lot of these brokerages. We're talking to agent teams and brokerages and obviously individual agents that are all wanting to move over to eXp Realty. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that's so shocking to a lot of these guys, if they've only been in the real estate business while essentially you haven't had to have any sort of formal agreement with a buyer.
Yeah.
And to go from having, and a lot of agents work with a lot of centers of influence and past clients, right? Mm-hmm. And so for, let's say you built your business around that, and you're doing fantastic, you have very consistent income, and all these buyers are coming to you from church or from synagogue or mosque or, you know, your neighbors and whatever, right? And now all of a sudden you have to actually ask them to sign some sort of formal agreement and they've never had to sign one of those with you before. It's going to create all kinds of consternation in the marketplace because if you present it incorrectly, what you're going to be potentially doing is all of a sudden telling this, you know, friend from church that you don't trust them and now you're going to make them obligate themselves to you financially. I mean, it's going to create so much awkwardness in the marketplace. Guys, this all comes down to sales skills. More than ever, sales skills are going to rule the day. And if you don't have sales skills, you're going to ruin your possibilities in this new marketplace. And having sales skills, using our buyer agent presentation, it will give you actually an unfair advantage in the marketplace as the rest of your competitors catch up with knowing what to say and knowing how to present all this information. And remember, it's not going to be optional. You're going to have to, unless something changes, you're going to have exclusive buyer agency contracts signed. So you might as well learn how to do this now before you actually are in a situation where if you're in Pennsylvania, you know, if Julie's remembering this correctly, you're facing down a $11,000 fine for not having followed procedure. You guys following us on all this?
Yeah, that's right. And we're going to talk a lot on tomorrow's podcast about some scripts and objection handling if you're in that situation and somebody says, well, I'm not so comfortable with that. So we'll get to that on tomorrow's podcast. That's upcoming. Fiction number four about the settlement. goes like this. The settlement reduces the total cost of transaction services. That's been a lot of headlines from the president on down. The settlement reduces the total cost of transaction services. All right, here's your fact. Shifting the burden of agent compensation doesn't necessarily lower overall transaction costs. Realtor services are essential and should be compensated. Sharing costs between parties doesn't equate to reduced transaction expenses, at least not necessarily. There's no automatic reduction.
Do you have a fact and fiction about the idea that sellers would lower their price and commensurate?
I think it's coming up.
Okay.
If not, we'll make it a bonus pack.
Okay. Bonus point. I have one feeling one's coming.
It's coming. All right. Fiction number five. The settlement will lower real estate prices. There you go. Make homeownership affordable. Oh, we're going to all magically lower the prices.
But see, this is more of this politicized crap. Again, Julie was just pulling these. She went to Google News and put in commission sharing lawsuit and a couple other keywords. And these are the titles that came up. But don't you guys think this is insane? Well, who's writing this stuff? What is the, you know, corporate media want consumers to think about our industry? It's really, I think this is really shining a light on, I think, how politicized everything has become. You know, it's really amazing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this has been a good way to really make about 1.5 million licensed realtors mad at the people who have said this.
No,
it was kind
real.
Of short-sighted if you think about it.
Well, not just that, Julie. Remember, there's 1.5 million members of the National Association, but then supposedly there's another million non-members. So you're looking at 2.5 million, you know, people with real estate licenses. And if they have a pulse, they're, you know, listening and watching all this stuff, realizing that, you know, without a doubt, there's a certain side of the political aisle that seems to have it out for us.
Well, and there's so much stupidity wrapped up in this, because let's say that you're in front, and I'm having this conversation. We're doing number five next,
I believe.
I'm having this conversation with some coaching clients already. Several of them are going on appointments this afternoon that I'm talking to them about, where, you know, okay, so you've got this conversation going on about, well, we don't have to pay the buyer side anymore. Aren't you also going to be on the buyer side after I sell your listing? You know, there's so much wrapped up in this. We'll get into more tomorrow, though.
The natural, and you and I are like this, the natural tendency is to believe that, you know, essentially the government has got, is looking out for all of us. Like, you know, big government is somehow doing what's right for all of us. And I think, frankly, when you and I were growing up, the trust factor with the government, not to be political, was completely different. But something has definitely happened where everything has just gotten to this political bent to it. Now you have to run things through a certain filter. Then all of a sudden you have the president giving a speech. Now I'm sounding political. I apologize if I'm offending anyone. It's not my intent. I'm facting. Where all of a sudden there's the president who is in front of, you know, however many people are watching, absolutely 100%, you know, passing along falsehoods to create more headwinds to you guys in this industry. I mean, you got to see things for how they are. It's unbelievable how bad things have gotten. So, you know, just remember, when you are out there in the real estate wilds, you're going to have to work a little bit extra hard. I mean, if anyone's been watching the news and their heads are full of this misinformation, and just share these notes. And the notes are available to you, of course, over on HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. Fact and fiction number
Let's go back to five, because we didn't give them the fact on that. So
The
fiction was, again, the settlement will lower real estate prices magically. Prices will come down and make homeownership affordable. Again, sounding very political there, right? So here's the fact. Real estate values are determined by market fundamentals, not realtor commissions. Can you imagine, like, commissions determine price? Okay, so even if commissions decrease, it minimally impacts home affordability. Rising home prices stem from market dynamics, not from commission structures. You all know that because you do comparative market analysis all the time before you go on a listing. That's what determines what a home is worth. Appraisals, value, sale comps, pending comps, you all know that. But does the public? That's why you have these talking points. Fiction number six, the settlement benefits buyers by allowing fee negotiation. Well, they already had that, but here's the fiction. The settlement benefits buyers by now allowing fee negotiation. Here's the fact. Buyer representation is traditionally covered by sellers, which benefits buyers, allowing them to finance fees over time. It's baked into the price. VA loans expressly prohibit buyer paid commissions, always have, raising questions about buyer benefits.
Now, so here, this is a good time to interject. Leo Parra from EXP from EXP Realty did a great presentation. It had 50,000 people. It was one of the most, if not the most, watched real estate video or ever. It broke the internet, basically.
Yeah.
And he was from EXP Realty. So he was talking about the fact, he's one of the executives there. He was talking about this very fact. And it is interesting that what we're going to see is we do believe that there's going to be, the VA is going to allow financing of buyer agent commissions. FHA is going to be allowing financing of buyer agent commissions. And then naturally, you're going to see traditional lenders, Wells Fargo and the rest of them, are going to allow financing of buyer agent commissions. Why? Because they have to remain competitive. That's inevitably what's going to happen. So here's this law that's going to make it so that, you know, buyer agent commissions can, air quoting, no longer be paid by the seller. So it's just going to put more of a financial burden on the buyers. And it's just incredible. I mean, really how all these things work. And in the light of day, how they all work. And I also want, this is a good, I think, a good place to interject. I, again, have been having a lot of conversations with teams, individual agents, sure, brokers, and whatnot, about what they should be doing in light of the new competitive pressures in the marketplace. And I'll tell you, and a lot of them are asking me about eXp Realty. eXp Realty, without a doubt, was, you know, one of the top three best business decisions Julie and I ever made to align with eXp Realty. I strongly suggest that wherever you are in your real estate career, however, you know, if you're an individual agent, a new agent, a seasoned agent, does not matter, you need to be taking a hard look at eXp Realty. If you look down below in the show description, you're going to see a link to learn more about our eXp Realty group. Or if you're ready to choose a sponsor, if you're ready to join eXp, especially if you're a team or a brokerage and you want more drilled down information, because obviously you have a lot more moving parts, let's have a conversation. Even, you know, this is valid for individual agents as well. Just text me directly. Text me. Don't call. Text 512-758-0206. 512-758-0206. 512-758-0206. So here's some facts. It's going to become a lot more challenging to run a profitable real estate brokerage in the future because there is going to be obviously more downward commission pressures. There are going to be more expectations for seller or for, you know, brokers to take on more liability. There are going to be, in some cases, depending on how the settlement actually works out, real estate brokers, if you did over $2 billion in volume, which are, you know, they could be potentially facing down a lot of very expensive litigation. The NAR settlement doesn't get I think it was almost 100 largest brokerages out of the saucepan. They're right, still very much involved in this litigation. Wherever you are, whoever you are, let's have a conversation and let me help you to understand that aligning with eXp Realty, if you're a big broker, like we're talking right now with one of the folks in our group, with a broker who has 1,000 agents, right? And you think, well, why would a broker with 1,000 agents want to join eXp Realty? I'll give you the bottom line reason why. Because that broker can still, you know, use their mortgage company, use their title company, have all those agents, you know, continue to use their mortgage and title company, and now they can finally start making money off the real estate transactions. What do I mean by that? That 1,000 agent brokerage. Now, remember what I just said, 1,000 agents. They're making zero money off the real estate side. They're making all their profit off mortgage and title. So if, you know, we showed them moving over to eXp, they could still do mortgage and title, and now they're going to be able to, you know, potentially make a lot more off mortgage and title. They're going to be able to get rid of a lot of the hard expenses that they've had forever from running a real estate brokerage. They're getting rid of offices in this case. In addition to that, they're also going to start actually making money because of revenue share off the agent's transactions, and a lot more money. And I'll give you an example of Chuck Fazio. He's in Arizona, a friend of ours. He moved his brokerage over of 800 agents. Now, not all 800 moved over, but it was a huge number. The amount of money that he's making now, I think it was 7 years ago, off his actual revenue share group is so much larger than what he was making off his real estate brokerage. It doesn't even compare. So there is every reason to believe that the future is bright for eXp Realty, and the growth spurt for eXp is just getting started. There's 90,000 agents at eXp. There's, you know, 2.5 million agents in just the United States. eXp is in 24 different countries. Guess what? We're just getting started. Let's have the conversation. And I know that a lot of you are, you know, having a lot of plates spin right now between the spring market, between confusion about, you know, different things that are happening with interest rates and market pressures. Let's have a conversation. Let's create a path forward so that you have something to look forward to that we can put in place with regards to you moving over to eXp, maybe later this year, maybe mid-year. And if you're an individual agent or an agent with maybe one or two assistants, we can help you move over usually within a day or two. So text me directly at 512-758-0206. Do text, please don't call, and we'll have a conversation. We'll have a Zoom, and I'll walk you through all the reason why so many agents, brokerages, and teams are moving over to eXp Realty. Again, it's 512-758-0206.
All right, on to our final fiction versus fact.
We're going to give him a bonus one, remember?
Okay, that's okay. Fiction number 7. The settlement results in significant restitution to harmed consumers.
Now, this is amazing, right? So there's at least the belief is...
I'm going to need all this.
I know, I know. Yeah. The belief is there's going to be $2 billion by the time this is all settled that's going to be paid out to the plaintiff's attorneys. Between the amount of money that's coming from NAR and between all the individual settlements that are coming from some of these larger brokerages and the money that's already been paid, it's believed, and I've heard this a few times, that the plaintiff's attorneys are going to make $2 billion. I want you to remember that number, $2 billion. Julie?
Yes, and I'll need you to scan down in a second here. So what is the size of the settlement fund? You just mentioned some of this. The NAR Commission lawsuit settlement has established a, quote, fund totaling $418 million. This substantial sum aims to address concerns regarding realtor commission practices. Okay, now, how many people are we talking about? Number of eligible consumers. Approximately 21 million Americans are part of the, quote, settlement class, comprising individuals who sold homes within the past 4 years. This extensive group reflects the widespread nature of real estate transactions and their potential impact on consumers. Now, what is the projected payout per seller? And why aren't we talking about this, might you wonder?
Remember, this is $2 billion. Now you're going to learn, if you think you might be eligible to be a, you know, essentially a beneficiary of the settlement. Get ready. We're about to tell you how much money you're probably going to make.
The projected payout per seller after deducting attorney's fees and accounting for the large number of eligible consumers. Remember, 21 million Americans are part of this class. The projected payout per seller could be as low as, wait for it, $13. I actually read articles as low as $10, but it's the same idea.
Don't spend it all in one place.
Yes, this amount underscores the challenge of distributing the settlement funds equitably among a vast number of claimants, $10 to $13 apiece. So as we talk about all of this, the NAR Commission lawsuit, prioritize your understanding, misconception, the fiction versus fact. It's crucial to recognize the complexities and be able to explain those during your meetings with prospects and clients and friends and et cetera. So
fact versus fiction, bonus point number 8. And this one I find, I mean, I can't not smile and start to laugh when I say this out loud.
Okay.
But one of the, you know, fictional pieces that was being passed around was now that sellers are no longer required, I'm kind of like,
Being forced to,
right, pay buyer agent commissions, that sellers will just naturally lower the prices of their asking prices, right, of their homes by 3%.
Across the board. You turn on the MLS tomorrow and everybody does a price reduction.
Cuba, what the hell parallel universe is it where a seller's not going to be, you know, rightfully greedy for the maximizing the sale? And so now they no longer have to, air quoting, pay a buyer's agent commission. They're going to lower their price by 3%. You guys let me know if you have a single seller that, those of you with listings, who has emailed you and called you since this has all come out and said, well, I guess I no longer have to pay that fee. I'm going to lower the price.
Let's pass that savings along through the price, you know, the purchase price.
What parallel universe do these people live in that they actually think that's going to be true? And that was a article, I believe, from the New York Times.
Yeah, a big article about that. And, you know, attached to this, we have to remember that we are living in a time where most Americans have 50% of equity in their homes, if they even have a mortgage. We also have 33%. I'm going to do more of this on the Friday podcast about some talking points. 33% of transactions are 100% cash right now. So we're not living in a time where, you know, you've got to pass along that savings and the seller is strapped for cash and we're freaking out over money. No, just since 2019, on average, if you own a home in the U.S., the value of your home has gone up by at least 45 to 48%. There's tons of equity. And I can tell you from conversations with the coaches and the coaching clients that what we're talking about that's going on in the headlines is by and large not happening with their conversations, because they're high, especially the ones that are trained, who have had coaching, who know how to do a seller's net sheet, who know how to explain their value. They do the net sheet and the sellers will like, yeah, of course we want to offer that compensation.
Our trained agents are also using the buyer agent, you know, the actual presentation.
That's right.
In Premier Coaching, we give you an actual presentation, how to present your value to prospective buyers that results in them wanting to sign the exclusive buyer agency contract. You're going to have to give them USPs, unique selling propositions. What makes you different? What makes you better? Why is it that someone want to, you know, essentially sign an exclusive with you versus the agent down the way? And you're, again, there's going to be no choice unless something changes in getting these things, these exclusives signed, just like you have to have an exclusive sign unless it's an open listing, when you go and list a property. There might be open listings on the exclusive buyer agency side of things as well. I mean, who knows? Maybe a buyer's going to go and have 100 different agents sign exclusive where it's going to be an open listing. Who knows how all this is going to sort out? That will, in different states, there'll be different variations, and there's going to be a lot of ebbing and flowing. But the moral of the story is get way ahead of the curve on this. Don't be intimidated by it. Realize that as long as we have an enormous number of people that want to, you know, essentially be in the real estate business, which is everyone and their brother, not business necessarily, but in the business of buying or selling for themselves, there is going to be a historic surge of people that want to buy homes, sell homes, like humanity has never experienced before. That's just a simple fact. So as long as we have an enormous amount of demand and we have an enormous shortage of supply, there's never really going to be much of a problem in the real estate industry, which, by the way, I've just characterized the industry for probably at least the next 10, maybe even 20 years, if you just look purely at the number of humans that are being created, yeah, and the number of humans that are wanting to, you know, obviously purchase homes. And more so than any time, certainly in Julie and I's lives, and if you don't agree, then head me off the pass. But the desire to own a home is stronger now than it ever has been before. And I'll even go as far as to say the desire to be in the real estate business has never been so strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually when we were growing up, being in a real estate business was the fallback to the fallback to the fallback, right? You know, being a real estate agent was something that was usually, when USA Today used to do this survey, the most to the least, they stopped doing it a while ago. Is USA Today even in business anymore? I don't know.
It is.
The most to the least respected professions. Yeah. And like number one was firefighter, nurses, those types of things. And at the bottom was attorneys and used car salesmen and real estate agents, right? And you know, I bet you if that survey were done now, real estate agents have probably, I'm not going to say we're up there with firefighters and nurses, but we've ascended, I guarantee
for
it.
For sure, for yeah. sure.
Well, so the point is there's going to be a huge amount. So those of you in the industry who are worried about a bunch of agents leaving the industry, no reason to believe that's true. The exact opposite is true. There's so many younger people now who have grown up watching these real estate shows who want to get into real estate. So there's going to be a huge number of people that get real estate licenses. There's going to be a huge number of buyers, huge number of sellers. You are in the right place at the right time. Please don't get stuck in the mud of all of this emotional upheaval that's happening as a result of the commission sharing lawsuits. And guys, if you're wanting to attach yourself to people who are more optimistic than ever because of the facts, right, who are not going to allow any of the fiction that's being politicized out there for whatever benefit to whoever, I don't really understand. If you want to really align with people that are going to go along with Julie and I, coaching clients, people in our EXP family, people who are wanting to see where essentially the market will evolve to, where it's going to go to, the people that are now thinking about the future opposed to getting stuck in the past, align with us. We strongly encourage you and all of the people that are going to ultimately be the beneficiaries of your motivation, which are your buyers and your sellers. Everyone needs to see real estate for what it is. In the United States, we have this unique opportunity to own homes. There's a bunch of statistics that are out there that show the amount of wealth that's earned by people that are homeowners. Do you remember the number?
The amount of wealth, homeowners versus renters?
Right, homeowners versus renters.
It was something like 47 times as wealthy.
Wasn't it the average net worth of someone who owns a home was something like...
It was very significantly, 47 times. Like, I think the average renter had something like maybe $6,000 saved, and the average homeowner had whatever that is times 40, hundreds of thousands because of the equity, especially if you purchased or owned a home in the past 3 years where all of that equity has come to fruition. And of course, there's no reason to believe that that's going to be degraded.
No, there isn't. And inflation and, it's going to continue to make asset prices go up like real estate.
Everybody wants to build that wealth. I mean, think about all of the buyers that were sidelined who are looking at their friends who are now transacting again because they built all of that equity. And now they have a very sizable down payment. They don't care about interest rates because they're buying down the rate or they're, maybe even paying all cash. All those people still have a desire to buy.
So for those of you out there, ultimately, who have been wanting to know what it feels like to be in the right place at the right time, it feels like you feel now. And if you're not feeling like you're in the right place at the right time, definitely align with us. Become a coaching client, become a member of our EXP Realty Group, and you will absolutely feel like you're in the right place at the right time. And then what comes after that is massive action and massive opportunity for you to be of service to other people and frankly make a lot of money and earn the right to have a life that you've only maybe dreamed of. So that's what it's all about, guys. See this market for what it is. It's a tremendous opportunity. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.